Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We've got some young people today. Good morning, good morning. Good to see you. Yeah, good to see you. I ain't seen you in a coon's age, man. Yeah, how are you? What's your name?
Jordan,
come here, come here. This is my friend Jordan. Jordan, you must have grown a foot since last time I saw you. Let's sing happy birthday to Jordan, okay?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jordan. Happy birthday to you.
And many, many more, okay, Jordan? All right. And I haven't seen Eric and his bride. Welcome home. You missed a wonderful winter. Did you notice how beautiful our lawn was this morning? All those yellow flowers with green. It wasn't white and snowy. Yeah. Good morning. Welcome. Yeah. Hey, let's greet one another. If you haven't met your neighbors, introduce yourself. Morning, Chief. Okay, Eric, you get the prize for the social butterfly. What a wonderful morning. Isn't it nice seeing the sun? I hope you're having a nice holiday. Couple of announcements. Thanks to everybody who helped out with the veggie stand yesterday and who brought things. There are some items left in the fellowship hall, so if you'd like to make a free will donation for those, that would be nice. Second thing is... Vacation Bible School is the 16th through the 20th. Do you need anybody else to help? I've never heard a shout or a cry.
We need somebody to lead music.
Lead music. Yeah. I think that guy behind you, he's as musical a guy as I know. Anyway, anything else? Okay. So keep tuned for Vacation Bible School. That's a wonderful time. We have a lot of people that help. And now that I see the kids here, it's nice to invite them too. The other thing I would like to mention is we're going to be having the special service, mortgage burning service, on the 22nd of June. And we're going to meet in the fellowship hall, have just one service. The bishop has been invited to join us, and he's a great speaker. I think you'll enjoy him. I expect you to be on your best behavior, however. I won't go any farther than that. But on that day, we're going to be receiving new members. So if you know of anybody that would like to join us, please let me know, and we'll be glad to visit and sign them up, okay? Yeah, Skip.
Would it be okay if we...
You all will look good when compared to me. Let's begin with a word of prayer. We have much to be thankful for. Oh Lord, you are a wonderful God. You have been with us even before the beginning of time, we are told, and you have been with us this week. You've brought people through surgeries. You've brought people to homes who've had sales. You've walked with us to bring grandkids and nieces and nephews into our presence. You've blessed us with food and fine weather. And you brought some more snowbirds home. So we have much to be thankful for. Fill us with peace. Fill us with hope. Fill us with love and joy. And fill us with your Holy Spirit, as we gather in your name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is My Faith Looks Up to Thee, 759. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the life beyond all death, the joy beyond all sorrow, our everlasting home. Amen. Rejoicing in Christ's victory over sin and death, let us come before God who calls us to repentance. Let's take a moment for silent reflection and self-examination. And let us confess together, God of life, by the resurrection of your Son, you make everything new. Newness scares us, and we confess to shutting our doors in fear. We have not listened to voices that challenge us. We have resisted the Holy Spirit, moving us in new directions. Our hearts are slow to believe your promises. Forgive us, O God, and renew us to embrace without fear the new life you have given us in Jesus Christ. Amen. People of God, Christ is alive, and death has lost its power. Through the waters of baptism, you have been born anew by the living Word of God. Know that your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name, and that the Spirit of the risen Christ is alive in you, both now and forever. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's join in the prayer of the day. O God, from whom all good things come, lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to think those things which are right, and by your goodness help us to do them. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading today is found in the book of Acts, chapter 17. In Athens, Paul faces the challenge of proclaiming the gospel to Greeks who know nothing of either Jewish or Christian traditions. He proclaims that the unknown God, whom they worship, is the true Lord of heaven and earth, who will judge the world with justice through Jesus, whom God has raised from the dead. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we too are his offspring.' Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." The psalm for today is Psalm 60. And where you see the bold R, you will say the refrain, "Bless our God, you peoples, let the sound of praise be heard." Bless our God, you peoples, let the sound of praise be heard. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us just as silver is tried. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us out into a place of refreshment. Those that I promised with my lips and spoke with my mouth when I was in trouble. Come and listen, all you who believe, and I will tell you what God has done for me. If I have cherished evil in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me.
But in truth, God has heard me and has attended to the sound of my prayer.
Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, nor withheld unfailing love from me.
Bless our God, you peoples, let the sound of praise be heard.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this sixth Sunday in Easter is found in the 14th chapter of St. John. In final words to his disciples on the night of his arrest, Jesus encourages obedience to his commandments and speaks of the Spirit who will be with them forever.
Jesus speaks, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, this world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The word of life, the word of God. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, 396. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks are sounding really good today, singing really well. I hope you do as well when the bishop comes. There's a story we need to hear on this Memorial weekend. An elderly man and his wife were in a mall area. They were having car troubles, so the hood was up, and the older man saw a guy in his late 20s carrying a bag going down, and he walked out to see if he could use his cell phone. He didn't have a cell phone or didn't have anything available to call a service station or call AAA or something. And the young man just kept walking, walked over to his new SUV and put his bag in, and he hollered over at him, "You shouldn't even be on the roads and driving. Why don't you just stay home?" Got into his car and drove away. Well, that was kind of upsetting, so the man walked back to his car to look under the hood and see if maybe he could see what was wrong. In the meantime, another fellow came over and says, "I see you're having problems." And the guy says, "Yeah, I can't figure out what's wrong." And the guy that stopped, he didn't know much about cars, but he says, "You know what, there's a service station just around the road. I'll drive quickly down there and come back, and we'll get you some help." So he did that, and he came back. He says the serviceman will come as soon as he can. It shouldn't be too long. So they started visiting, and as they visited, this old man and this guy in his 30s, the younger guy saw that on his hand he had a ring just like his, and it was a Marine ring, Chuck. And so they started sharing old war stories, you know, when you were you in and what was going on. And the older fella said, "You know, I was in World War II, caught up on the end. I was in some serious battles. I was at Guadalcanal. I was at Okinawa, and things were pretty tough." And the young guy says, "Well, I didn't have anything like that to go along." But anyway, the serviceman comes. He looks, and he says, "Well, it's obvious, you know, the battery cable was off." So he tightened it up, jumped the car, and the young guy and the old guy stood outside and watched. And finally, they said, "You know, it was really nice visiting with you. They exchanged cards." And the older guy and his wife drove off, and the young guy looked at the card, and down below on his card was gold leaf saying that this man, this older man he was talking to, was the recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor. This man was one of America's heroes. And I just think of the young guy who drove off. This is a reminder that this Memorial Weekend, there are men and women who have served their country, received very little in return. It's only right that we should take a day and recognize their sacrifice and honor their memory this holiday weekend. So I hope at least you stop. If you don't go one of the grave sites this afternoon or tomorrow, stop and say a little prayer or give a moment of thanks for these people who have made their sacrifice. Our lesson today from John's Gospel is a powerful one. It is the Last Supper. They've broken bread, shared the wine. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. Judas has left to do his dark deed, and Jesus is telling the disciples that he will be leaving them. And so these are his words. Jesus says, "If you love me," and he's talking to his disciples and the family that's gathered there, "if you love me, participate, immerse yourself in the things that I have taught you. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him because he lives with you and will be in you." He says, I won't leave you as orphans. I'll come to you, and before long the world will not see me anymore, but you'll see me because I live, you will also live. On that day you will realize that I'm in my Father and you're in me and I'm in you, and whoever participates in me will be the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. So Jesus is preparing his disciples for his absence. He's going to leave soon. And Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. That's the New International Version of that translation. Another advocate. Like someone who stands beside you in a court of law. He is an advocate for you. He speaks for you. The original Greek has different meanings. It reads, alone parakleton. The King James Version translates this version like this. It says, I will send another comforter. The old Revised Standard Version translates as another counselor, though it was changed to another advocate in the new Revised Standard Version. The Message translation says the Father will send another friend. I will send another friend for you to be with you. I like that. And the new Common English Bible translates the phrase as another companion. The reason I go through this is because you and I aren't Greek scholars and we can take our pick. The phrase literally means one who is called to alongside to help. The elderly couple sitting in their broken car who were aided by that former Marine needed someone to come alongside them and help them in that situation. All of us are going to be in that situation sooner or later. We're going to need someone to stand alongside us and help us down the road. A man who underwent an open-heart surgery told a friend of his experience. He said that the day before the surgery, a nurse came in into my room to visit, and she took hold of my hand and asked me to feel it and to hold it, and so you could recognize it. And the reason she said was, tomorrow you're going to be disconnected from your heart. Well, that's what's going to happen in surgery. And you're going to be kept alive only through virtue of certain machines. And when your heart is finally restored and the operation is over and you're recovering, you're going to eventually awaken in a special recovery room. And you'll be immobile for as long as 6 hours. You'll be unable to move, unable to speak, unable to even open your eyes, but you're going to be conscious the whole time. You're going to hear everything and experience everything that's going on there. You're going to be alive to everything going around, but you won't be able to respond. She says, during those 6 hours, I'm going to be at your side, and I'm going to hold your hand just like we're doing now. And I'll stay with you until you're fully recovered. Though you might feel absolutely helpless, when you feel my hand, you'll know that I won't leave you. And that's exactly, it happened exactly as the nurse told me, this fella said, who went through the heart surgery. I awoke, I couldn't do anything, but I could feel the nurse's hand for about 6 hours. And that made all the difference in the world in my recovery. I wasn't afraid because I knew it was happening just as she prepared me. It does make a difference when someone is alongside us when we're in need. Today we're told that that's the work of the Holy Spirit. In some instances, the Holy Spirit comes with power. At other instances, the Holy Spirit comes out as a guide. But there are times when we need a friend, a counselor, a comforter, an advocate. Then the Holy Spirit serves in those capacities as well. But why does Jesus say, I will give you another advocate? I'm wondering about that this morning. Writer John wants us to understand that the same Spirit that was in Christ is the Spirit that will be with us in our times of need. John's very clear that this is why Christ departed this world, so that the Spirit could come and be with everybody and do the work of God with everybody around the world, not just through one man. This is the importance of the Holy Trinity. The same Spirit that created the world and then became flesh in Jesus Christ returns on the day of Pentecost so that he can be available to every believer around the world as we seek for guidance and for comfort and for improvement and for clarity of mission and for strength as we seek to be Christ's people. We need all of those things, and the Spirit of God is with us. That's what Jesus is saying in our gospel lesson. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. In other words, it's God himself who comes alongside of us. Anytime we're hurting, anytime we're in distress, that's God alongside of us. We're not in this alone. He's our comforter. He's our counselor. He's our advocate. He's our companion. He's our friend. This is an amazing God that we follow. And this is amazing good news to everyone who calls upon Christ in time of need. We're not in this alone. The God of all creation doesn't forget us. And he doesn't forsake us. Rather, whenever we're hurting, he comes alongside of us. That's the promise today. You know what I'm talking about? What a wonderful thought. God won't leave us as orphans. That's what Jesus says here. Can there be a sadder plight than that of an orphan with no one to care for him or her? It's particularly true 2,000 years ago. In Jewish society, an orphan didn't have an absentee home or daily provisions provided. They didn't have orphanages or social systems set up to care for them. Unless some kind of soul took note of an orphan's plight, he or she was on his own. One of the most moving passages in the English literature comes toward the end of Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities. Last winter was, for those of you snowbirds, last winter was such a terrible winter that I decided to read a few of the classics. I thought I'd better read Dickens. I hadn't done that since college. So I picked up Tale of Two Cities. It's a story of the French Revolution. Each day a grim procession of prisoners found its way moving down the streets of Paris to the guillotine. That was just the way things were in those days during the French Revolution. One prisoner named Sidney Carton was a brave man who had lost his soul when he was young, but now he had changed around. He had found some spiritual life and had become a good man, and he gave his life so that a friend could live. He just did just like Christ. He says, I will take your place, you'll be freed, and I'll go to the guillotine for you. So standing beside Carton, there was a young girl. They had met before in prison. And the girl had noticed Carton's gentleness and courage. And she said to them, if I can ride with you, will you let me hold your hand? She says, I'm not afraid, but I'm little and I'm weak. And it'll give me courage if I can hold your hand. And so they rode together, her hand and his. And when they reached the place of execution, Dickens tells us, that there wasn't any fear in her eyes. She looked up into the quiet, composed face of her companion, and she said this one thing. She says, I think you were sent to me by heaven. Who can doubt that caring gentleman was sent by God? Who can doubt? We're not in this alone. He won't leave us alone as orphans. He will always be with us. He will always stand by our side. And that brings us to one final thing we need to see in this passage. That is that who we are as followers of Christ. We're to be those who come alongside of others who have fallen or who are hurting. Huh? The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us in our time of need. We're called to be alongside of each other in their times of need. Many of you know the story of Jackie Robinson, the first African-American who played Major League Baseball. Maybe you saw the movie a couple of years ago. He faced jeering crowds in every stadium that he played in. Robinson was held to a higher standard than any other ball player of his time, and yet he maintained a poise that was significantly, pretty much magnificent, basically. Huh? Well, one day he's playing in his home stadium in Brooklyn. Nicky, he blew a ball that was a double play ball, rolled right through his legs. And the crowd began to ridicule him, and it got louder and louder, and they jeered him, and he stood at second base, and he was humiliated. While the fans jeered, something started happening. Shortstop Pee Wee Reese walked over, stood on second base with Robinson, and he put his arm around him, and he looked into the face of the crowd. And pretty soon the crowd just calmed down and stopped. Robinson later said that Pee Wee's act of solidarity, the placing of his arm around Robinson's shoulder, saved his career, saved Robinson's career. It gave him strength to go on and to play, and baseball has never been the same. You say, well, that's what it means to be a friend. Yes, but that's also what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We're called to come alongside of people, even people we don't know. Why? Because that's what Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit has done for us. He's come alongside of us. Jesus promised his followers he wouldn't leave them as orphans. We're not in this alone. He promised that he would send his people an advocate, a counselor, a comforter, a companion, a friend. If God has ever been any of these things to you, maybe the question we ought to ponder today is, what have we been doing for others? What did Pee Wee Reese do to Jackie Robinson? He did what followers of Jesus are called to do. He came alongside when someone needed help. He made sure that no one ever felt that they were orphaned in this world. And that's what our faith is all about. That's why we gather on Sunday mornings in this place, to be reminded of that. If you're feeling alone now, and some of you might, I hope you know that God is alongside of you. God will never let you go. And if you know someone who's hurting, then maybe it's time to be a friend, a comforter, an advocate, just as Christ has been for you. That's the lesson for today. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Let's join in singing our next hymn as we invite the ushers to receive our offering. Hymn number 408.
Rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on the top of page 5. Let us pray together. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Made alive in Christ and filled with his Spirit, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. You abide with your church, O God. Empower us with your Spirit so that your people speak and live the love revealed in Jesus. Hear us, O God. You abide with your creation, O God. Breathe on fields and forests, lakes and oceans, and all living things so that they thrive as you intend. Hear us, O God. You abide with the nations, O God. Reveal your truth so that nations and peoples govern in peace and advocate for justice. Hear us, O God. You abide with the needy, O God. Cheer the sorrowful, protect the orphans, support the grieving, and heal the sick. We especially pray that you will be with Lila and Ray Dooley's son. Be with Keith Kellen and Jerry Becker as they recover from surgery. Thank you for the children that are here today. Walk with them for the rest of their lives. And we especially thank those who sacrificed their lives that we might celebrate freedom. Hear us, O God. You abide with the fearful, O God. Transform fear into freedom for the life of Christ, for the life Christ has promised. Hear us, O God. Thank you for your many blessings, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the gift of springtime where we have new life. Be with us as we journey through this spring and through this summer. Smile upon us as a congregation and allow us to keep our eyes focused on you, serving you, and loving you and each other. We remember, O God, that you have died in the faith. Assure us of your life-giving Spirit until that day when we will abide with you forever. Hear us, O God. Receive our prayers, merciful God, and dwell in us richly through Jesus Christ, our life and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thy kingdom, the power, and the power of our
Lord.
Amen. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
Amen.
Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks.
Our closing hymn is On Our Way Rejoicing, 537.
Rejoicing as we have the soul, Christ our